As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello all and welcome to the 70th edition of On The Ball, a Norwich City podcast from The Athletic. I'm Michael Bailey. I hope this finds you safe and well. On the way, Norwich hitting a high XD, expected Dow. Away the lads and sour cherries. We will work through all this and more with our guests this fine evening. They are Norwich number wang chief at NCFC Numbers, also known as our very own Steve Sanders.
Hi, Michael.
And someone who knows just how this all feels, the brink of promotion, former City winger and bona fide legend, Darren Huckabee.
Evening.
Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Much appreciated. Steve, I'll come to you first. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. I was sort of hoping that we'd be, you know, this would be the promotion party podcast, but well, we're nearly there, aren't we?
So wait for it. Wait for
champagne.
It.
Well, I think the champagne was literally on ice, wasn't it? If your article today was anything to go by. Did you say Sky were actually there and then kind of made a hasty retreat when they saw the Swansea score at halftime?
Yeah, they weren't going to be there. And then they're like, oh, we better be there. And then they left because they didn't need to be there. Good question on the ice and the champagne. I mean, Darren, you've been handed branded EFL champagne. Is it normally cold when you start spraying it? That seems like they probably wouldn't do that.
I can't remember, to be honest with you. I can't remember. I'm sure we did. We probably drank it. We didn't waste it.
Yeah, yeah. I think you didn't care if it was cold or not by that point, do you?
No.
It's all mixing with sweat and whatnots anyway. Who cares at that point? How are you, Darren? Are you well?
Yeah, very well. Pubs are open. Hairdressers are open. So we're near enough back to normal, aren't we?
You're both looking particularly sharp with your haircuts, which obviously doesn't work for a podcast. But, I mean, how long does that trim take, Darren?
Probably about 30 minutes.
Slick.
I had to queue an hour and a half, and the haircut took half an hour. So, yeah, not great.
Perfect ratio. Steve, yours? I mean, that's a buzz cut, isn't it?
About 30 minutes. A buzz cut? Look at that. That's a classic short back and sides.
It is. Yeah, I'm just jealous.
Yeah, no more than 30 minutes. Yeah, I might not, yeah.
There you go. That's the optimum number. I'm jealous. I will get my haircut one day. Before we crack on, right now you can subscribe to The Athletic for a special price of £3.99 per month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You can enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. So go to theathletic.com/NorwichPod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That is theathletic.com/NorwichPod. Let's crack on, shall we, with this week's headline act. So Norwich dug it out at Derby. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. Thanks to a wonderful Kieran Dowell free kick. And he is quite an interesting case. You can read my piece from the game on The Athletic that went up on Monday morning. It does feel like he's still, I don't know how you view it, Steve. I mean, it's like he's getting a run of games, which I think is great. We're getting to analyze him properly now. And there seems like there's so much good he's doing whilst also probably leaving us all wanting a little bit more as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably the story of all our number 10s and the various kind of runs in the team they've had this season. I'd say maybe he's in the best form that we've seen from our various number 10s. I think the goals that he's getting as well, you know, that it was a match winner, wasn't it? And it was a great strike. I think Farke's right. He there's still a little way to go. There's still some improvement we need from him. What he's probably done in the last few weeks is given himself the opportunity to start a few games next season. I think we will probably, hopefully, still see a number 10 come in the door. The way that Dow's played and the moments that he can bring you, you know, someone like a Stephen wouldn't have been able to give us that. Stephen has other qualities, but he wouldn't have been able to hit a free kick the way that Dow did on Saturday. So I'm really pleased for him. I think I picked him out as being the signing I was most excited to see at the beginning of the season. And I've kept very quiet on that until this moment. But he is kind of living up to the promise now. So I'm glad for him as much as anything else.
Picture moment to bring that one back up. Well played. It was interesting, isn't it, with Hux that, I mean, Kieran keeps sort of, he keeps getting starts, but also Daniel Farke will keep bringing him off with sort of 20 minutes or so left. And it's a weird one in a way that he doesn't really seem to grab a game. I mean, I get the impression if he has a really good game, he probably walks away with a hat trick like he did for Forest once or twice. But he also, although he has big impacts and big moments, he can kind of drift in games, which I guess you always get players who are a bit like that, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's been difficult for him. He's been in and out of the team. He got injured in certain times that really didn't help his Norwich, you know, career so far. It don't also help that you've also got Todd Campbell and Buendia in the same team, you know, because they take a lot of the, you know, a lot of the plaudits and the way they play. They're on the ball quite a bit. So it's been interesting because obviously Stiepermann's been, you know, ill and then struggled to get back to full fitness. I think, you know, Daniel Farke seems to like Stiepermann quite a lot playing with Pookie. So I think that's given him a chance to stake a claim, you know, in the team. It's going to be interesting to see how we deal with next season, whether we'll be a first choice or not.
And with Lucas Rupp as well. I mean, I kind of feel, Steve, that had Lucas been fit, maybe, I don't know whether Kieran would have got quite as many games in a way, because Lucas was just getting those games. He's just had another setback as well, which is a real shame for him, of course. Probably means we won't see him again this season. So I guess football's, you know, surrounded by various lucky breaks and what have you, and injury opportunities that open up for you.
Yeah, I think we've said it before that Farke likes to stick with a winning team generally. But what players have done under his management for the last few years is when they've had the chance, they've taken it. And actually, I think Rupp did that when he was in the team. He had an excellent game. I think it was at the Forest away game, although Dow played in that one as well and also had a good game. I think what Dow has done is taken his opportunity. And you would say that if he does stay fit, obviously he's not quite there yet. Otherwise, Farke wouldn't have hooked him after an hour. Didn't seem to be any injury issues there like there were with Emmy. But Hux makes a good point, actually. That normally the 10 would be the focal point of the creativity, whereas in this team, they almost play with three of them, don't they? It's, you know, and they kind of interchange positions. So I think what Daniel Farke looks for in that role isn't necessarily the man to provide the kind of the through balls and the incredible link-up play. Sometimes there's a bit more of the defensive steel and the hard work as well. And Farke's praised him for that. So I think that almost counts for as much as anything, really.
I don't remember you hitting that many free kicks, Hux, but please put me right if I'm wrong there. But I mean, when you saw the free kick, what impressed you most about the technique from Dow?
I just think I got it up and down over the wall, and he seemed to have a lot of pace on it as well. It's one of them where you just, as soon as he hit it, you knew it was in. So, and he had one just before, didn't he? They hit the side netting, which was like a ridiculous angle. But yeah, a moment of quality in a game where, you know, I didn't think we played that particularly that well, especially second half. I thought, you know, we never really got going. So that moment of magic really got us the 3 points.
They do keep pulling it out of the bag. There's not many games this season where Norwich have sort of taken more points than they probably deserved. It's tended to be the other way around. But what did you make of the second half, Steve? Because it felt to me like they were a bit tired mentally rather than physically. It looked like, you know, and also they made a pretty good start to the game, and then they just really struggled to sort of maintain the momentum. And then once Derby sort of got at them a bit in the second half, it was like they really struggled to regain control of the game.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Like, that was my take on it as well. It happens so often, doesn't it, when they'll have these amazing performances and then you kind of expect the same the following game. It doesn't quite materialise. So they did well to grind it out, really. I think what I took from the second half is that I think there's a fairly significant drop-off between our first team and the rest at the moment. Poeta, I felt like it was the right time to bring him on because it did feel like we could spring Derby on the counter. But it just doesn't quite seem to come off for him for whatever reason. We don't quite seem to be able to utilise his pace in the way you'd like us to. We're maybe just not that sort of team. I was going to mention, and I should stress, I definitely don't have the technique for those kind of free kicks. But one thing I did,
whatever, here it comes.
But one thing I did notice was that there's been a bit of talk about the old draft excluder, as they call it, the man that lies down behind the wall. Whether it's like a faddy hipster type thing, but I kind of think it's worth doing because the threat from a direct free kick, the immediate threat is that the player's going to shoot, and that allows the wall to jump. And the Derby wall didn't jump, and had they jumped, that ball would not have gone in. And actually, it kind of shouldn't the way it did because it was quite flat and it hit the top. It wasn't like a Mario Vrančić curler. So I know we're not a Derby County podcast, but I did kind of think, like, why did they not have that option? Because they knew Dowell was going to shoot and they could have stopped the goal.
It was interesting. After the game, Dowell said, "I knew that the wall wasn't going to jump." So he knew that was, I guess, from looking at things, he knew that was going to happen. I hadn't heard of that, the one who lays down being called the draft excluder before, but...
That's what they always call it on Sky. I promise I haven't just invented that. That's
outstanding. Would you fancy being the draft excluder in the wall? Hux?
I'd rather be on the floor than getting it smack in the face.
Well, it could end up anywhere, though, if they drill it low.
Only certain people should go in the wall, and I'm not one of them. So I'll try and get out of the way, simply as that.
Steve makes an interesting point on Chemislav Poeta, though, Hux. I mean, when you've seen him, I keep looking at it thinking, well, I'm not convinced his teammates are necessarily, well... I'm trying to be kind here because at points it looks like they're not having him, to be honest, but whether they're not quite, using him in the right way or playing off him in the right way. But then obviously Shemek himself has to take, I suppose, a degree of responsibility for that himself as well. How are you looking at it when he's been coming on?
I think he's been really disappointed, if I'm going to be honest. You know, we heard it, you know, the quickest player alive and all this kind of stuff. I ain't seen him go past anybody. I ain't seen him beat anybody. You know, he's quick, but how would you know? It's a real strange one because he don't seem to play to his strengths. You know, normally, quick players, they put themselves in positions where they can use the pace and get in 1v1 situations so they can expose who they're playing against, but he never seems to. And I don't really know why, to be honest with you, because if you don't go past people, then there's no point in you don't do anything. And if you're a wide man and you can't beat people and you can't cross the ball, or you can't put yourself in positions to cross the ball, it's very difficult for you. So, you know, and that's in the Championship. So is he going to be able to step up in Premier League where people are quicker and stronger? And I don't know. I think the same problem with Ono. You know, Ono's probably a little bit more streetwise and can adapt to our game a little bit more. But, you know, Ono's got to do more. That's one thing we are going to need in the Premier League. We're going to need a different outlet because defences are going to be bigger, stronger, better organised. And you went in. I don't think we'll be able to break teams down like we have done this year, as we found out last time when we went up. So I do think that a pacey wide man will give us a different option.
That's an interesting point because I guess from the shape of the team, I mean, what would a pair? Because Norwich do Norwich go in much behind you? They kind of play a football that actually works for a pacey option, even though they kind of also still need that option as well.
They don't have a great deal of pay, I suppose, Pukki, but Cantwell and Buendia, it's not their biggest strength. They are better on the ball. But, I mean, I've been thinking for the last few weeks, you know, we are going to go up. So there's a chance that last season may repeat itself again and that we need to find a different way to play with the ball and without the ball. I tend to agree with Hux. I don't think that Poeta is the answer to the, you know, if we're going for a pacey option. So then where do we turn? Is it Onel, or again, do we need to get another player through the door? I don't know.
We're going to have to bring them all in. Need five or six. I mean, the good thing is, Hux, that you, you've obviously laid down the law there for what Shemek needs to do. Probably about 12 months ago, you'd have said the similar kind of thing about Emi, in that, you know, he needs to score goals and produce these, this sort of a few extra bits and bobs. I mean, you see the player now compared to one you were probably watching about a year ago. Has he kind of ticked the boxes now?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think he took it more onto himself to shoot and to make chat. Because there's even times last year when, you know, we try and play an extra pass when he didn't need to try and set something up, when he's got the ability himself to... You know, now he's a complete player now. A year ago, he wasn't. Simple as that. Because, you know, whatever... Did he score one goal in the Premier League out of, whatever, 35? You know, it's not good enough for a player of his ability. And that's what we said. But this year, he took it on board and now he is the best player in the Championship. Which is, you know, even though I don't think the Championship is that strong this year, if I'm going to be brutally honest, but he's head and shoulders the best player in the Championship. And, you know, Todd Cantwell is not far behind him as well. So that just shows how strong we are in that department.
Love it. I've had enough people tell me you'll make the most of him while he's here. So I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to repeat that they've told me that. So there you go. Brilliant stuff. Well, we'll obviously get to see more of Kieran Dow and the others over the remaining five games of the season. How exciting.
Brought to your ears by The Athletic, I'm Adam Hurry, and Football Clichés is the podcast you never knew you needed. Every week, to quite unnecessary depth, we examine the words, the phrases, the accepted wisdom, the mannerisms, the habits, the gestures, the symbols, the sounds, and the smells that everyone takes for granted in football, but which really are the glorious glue that holds it all together. For example, have you ever really listened to the Football League goals roundups? I mean, really listened to them? Because they all sound pretty much like this. Team X went into this game with just one win in their last 13, and when Team Y took the lead inside 4 minutes at Stadium Z, the home fans were probably starting to fear the worst. But Striker A had other ideas, and this game turned on its head in the space of 5 minutes midway through the second half. First, a smart finish from the edge of the box brought Team X level, and he repeated the trick on the hour mark to bring his tally for the season to 22. By now, Team X were in the mood, and although Striker A squandered a gilt-edged chance to complete his hat-trick, on-loan Dutchman winger B made it three with a curling effort from long range. Team Y's misery was compounded in stoppage time when midfielder C's late challenge on fullback D saw them reduced to 10 men. An afternoon to forget for manager E's men then, but Team X will hope they have finally turned a corner under caretaker boss manager F. Listen to Football Clichés wherever you get your podcasts, and also ad-free when you subscribe to The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Right, let's move on to things we are not going to talk about. These are the things that have happened and deserve some acknowledgement, but we're only going to acknowledge them by stating how we are not going to talk about them. Makes sense? Good. Also, we only have 3 minutes to do it, so please cue the dramatic music producer, Ollie. Now then, I am going to start with, if I may, Grant Hanley. Because, I mean, this is harsh because he obviously deserves to be talked about. But I think he's in such good form. I think it's He did get caught with one ball over the top that Colin Kazim-Richards almost got in for, and I think Tim Cole needed to bail Grant out. But the way he's sort of carrying things at the moment, especially with Andrew Omobamadeli next to him, you know, he's going to be learning a lot over these coming games. I think Grant Hanley has delivered exceptionally well this season, so he deserves acknowledgement there.
Yeah, I think in any other year he'd be a shoo-in for Player of the Year, wouldn't he? But there's a few contenders. This is going to, thinking about that award, it's going to be about as close as it's been for a number of years.
Who do you vote for, Steve? We're not going to talk about it. Who are you going to vote for?
I'd go Emmy, I think. I'd go Emmy just for the match winning. But Hanley would be a deserved winner, as would Skip, to be honest.
Cool. That's your three. Hux, who do you vote for?
I think for some moments of brilliance, Emmy's going to get it. But, you know, you can't take away how good Hanley and Skip have been. You know, I think Skip is the glue that holds the team together. I think he does, going both ways. I think he's been absolutely superb.
In fact, I thought the way things kind of unravelled a bit at Derby, even though they won, kind of came from Ollie having a rare off second half. I thought he was really good in the first 20 minutes. And he started doing these really big bursts. I guess it was since the Huddersfield game where he basically won that penalty. Now he's just all over it. If I can burst in a straight line for 50 yards, he's in. Which isn't bad because he was a pretty good player without it as well. Anything, Hux, you don't want to talk about?
All the other teams crumbling. That's kind of making me laugh a little bit. Brentford and Swansea. I know Watford have obviously dug in a little bit, but it's kind of been a pathetic, hasn't it, the challenge for everybody else. If we're going to be honest, it's considering 2 months ago, it looked like it was going to be like a four-horse race. I know we've played really well, but you know, Swansea and Brentford have been, you know, bang average, really.
Well, I think it was, yeah, one injury, Rico Henry's injury to Brentford. I heard someone pin on their troubles, and Swansea's penalties dried up, and then that was that. So, although their goals were sensational at the weekend, I thought the finishes were anyway. Anything else you don't want to talk about, Steve?
I was just going to ask, I'm sure I'm way behind the curve on this. One thing I noticed during the game is the shouts from the touchline. Like, our bench is incredibly loud. Like, it seems to be a lot louder. Who's making that? Who's making the noise, Mark? You're in the stadium.
I mean, that since has been going very well. I remember how quiet it was last season. You know, no one said anything. They arrived, no one said anything, and then they left and they'd lost. And that was it, really. And some of the clubs are really chippy. I mean, probably, I mean, sort of all the Norwich staff, really, to be honest. Daniel Farker loves a shout and a swear, which is nice. You can hear that crystal clear a lot of the time. But also, in fairness, the Derby bench, like Wayne Rooney's manager, but they literally had four coaches barking constant stuff at the players. I mean, I don't know how they really knew what they were doing, to be honest, because there was like lots of different instructions flowing out from different people at almost the same time. So there we go. All the music's run out. There we go. One thing else I didn't want to talk about was Steve Bruce saying, Norwich show how you get relegated from the Premier League. I mean, maybe he's right, but, you know, Steve Bruce at Newcastle, it's...
What was the context to that? Like, why did he say that?
I think Alan Shearer said that the Newcastle should be a bit more attacking. And Steve Bruce's answer was, if Norwich showed that that's how you basically get relegated by playing that way. If you play like Norwich, you get relegated. Which I think is a bit harsh, because you could argue Leeds have kind of done something similar, just maybe with better players or... Maybe we shouldn't mention Leeds. They obviously have their big win at Man City.
he's not wrong, but as a supporter, would you swap the last couple of seasons Newcastle have had under Bruce for the 2 years we've had? I don't think I would, but you know, he's not wrong. And I suppose bottom line is he's got to keep them up, and that's what he's doing. So
yeah, fair enough. He is actually, isn't he? Yeah, but I don't know if Newcastle fans would be so happy if they finished 10th. with everything that's going on around the club, but we'll save that for the for Chris and George on the Newcastle pod. Dimitris Yiannoulis was another thing I was going to mention. His defensive record, I couldn't find the tweet exactly, but it's like they've conceded like two goals since he started playing, basically something stupid like that. You must have.
I think it's three when he's been on the pitch. It's either three or four all the time he's been on the pitch. One of which was the one he gave away.
Yeah, that's true.
Not bad.
To be honest, I thought Roberts gave him a bit of a run around on Saturday, second half. That's what I thought. So it's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to the Premier League, where you've got proper wingers who can pop with a run and get out people. So we'll see.
Yeah, that did get pretty ugly. At one point, he was putting his hand up, apologising. I think that happened once or twice later on. Oh, and the last thing I was going to say that I wasn't going to mention was happy birthday, Grant Holt. I think he's 40 today.
Yeah, he joins the old boys club today.
Oh, have you told him that already?
Send him a little message on Twitter. Oh, so,
I'm sure he's had a lovely day.
It goes downhill when you get to 40. That's what they say.
Well, I'm only a couple of months in, so I'm still in the honeymoon period. Wait until I'm 41. Right then, I tell you what, let's crack on with this week's centrefold. Now, this is mainly because you're on the pod, Hux, to be honest, and I'm pretty sure I've asked you this before, but this Norwich side has got a lot of praise. Certainly in recent weeks, and obviously the 7-0 was a fairly ridiculous winning scoreline. But it does sort of lend us to the question of exactly how good this Norwich team is compared to other Norwich teams. And I guess we're primarily talking about promoted teams, because I think, you know, we wouldn't say it's better than the team that finished third in the Premier League, but then the eras are completely different. So it actually becomes very difficult, doesn't it, Steve, to really compare teams when there's years difference in who they're playing and what they're doing. You watch 90s football and it looks so different to the football of now and last season.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's an impossible job comparing. And, you know, the team that Hux played in had strengths that this current team doesn't have, and vice versa. And I would also agree with the point that I don't think this year's championship has not been as good as the one where we went up a couple of years ago. So actually we've kind of gone above and beyond. I mean, it's a pretty good vintage, and like you can't really find that many faults with this current team. Obviously we'll find out more about them next year, but in terms of kind of just having complete control over games as we have done in the last few weeks, I struggle to remember a time where we've had that much. Just we go into a game thinking, well, they're going to win. You know, they're just head and shoulders above everyone else. But then how much does COVID play into that? You know, you go to a place like Pride Park, as we did on Saturday. If they've got the home fans behind them, I don't think it's, you know, we might have crumbled in that second half. So I think that has an impact as well. So I'm truly going to sit on the fence here. I really don't know. But it's a bloody good team, that much I do.
Yeah, what I would say... team we won the league in 2003. I think the team 2 years ago, I think would have beat, not comfortable to beat them, because they just couldn't defend. And that's me being honest. Now, defensively, we were very good and we could hurt teams on the counter attack and have some real good players. But this team now, you know, they've not got many weaknesses. They defend really well. They're solid through the middle and they've got exceptional players up front. Now, like I said in the tweet after the game, after the 7-0 game, that 45 minutes was the best I've ever seen in what 16 years I've been associated with a club or whatever it is. So that's the best 45 minutes I've seen from one team. But they've got to do it in the Premier League. You know, this is what we said 2 years ago. You know, everyone got, oh, this is, we're going to finish mid-table, all this, and we got absolutely battered. So, but I do think we're in a much better place this time. Players are 2 years on, got a lot more experience. I just think we're better in every department than we was 2 years ago. So that sets us in good stead, I think, for what's going to come next season.
How would that 2003-04 side have taken on this Norwich side, do you reckon, Darren? Would they have let them have the ball and try and sort of turn them around quickly? Or
I think we'd have tried to rough them up a little bit. I think...
Kick Emmy on his ankle. He doesn't like that. That's a recurring theme.
Yeah. Also... you know, if the fullbacks would play as high as they would do, I can't imagine that they would be able to play that way against, you know, another decent team. Because, you know, there's no disrespect to Max, I think he's a superb player, but if he's got to give me 20 yards to catch up with me, he's not catching me. So you try and play to the team's weaknesses. And to be honest with you, this current team hasn't got many weaknesses. What you do, you every time Envy or Todd got the ball, you kick him. Or you just pile into him every time you got the ball, you would. Because yeah. I'm surprised more teams don't do it. I'm surprised more teams don't try and wind Emmy up and Todd Campbell up and stuff like that. You know, that seems to have gone out of the game a little bit more. It just seems, you know, you have a good go, we have a good go. That Huddersfield team the other day, when they were getting beat 5-0, didn't put a tackle in, didn't rough anybody up, didn't get anybody's face. You know, and that's embarrassing, really. You know, that shouldn't happen. A team that's fighting to stay in the league, you're getting beat 5-0 and no one's got within 10 yards of anybody. Don't get me wrong, Norwich were very good, but come on.
Like, there probably wasn't actually that much in terms of quality between the Preston team who we drew against 3 days before and then that Huddersfield team. But like Huck says, Huddersfield just did not lay a glove on us and just gave us so much room. Whereas Preston put up a fight, didn't they? And rode their luck a bit. But like, I personally, I know you were a bit annoyed at the referee not giving Buendia enough protection in that game. But I think they approached that game because they knew Buendia and Cantwell are the threats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I hadn't.
And I know you didn't have an issue with the way Preston did approach it, but yeah, that's kind of the way you have to play this Norwich team, isn't it?
That's the first thing you do. Anyway, if you've got a manager who's wearing white jeans and trainers, he deserves to get beat 7-0. No, but what stands up? What kind of message are you sending out? It's like, come on, ridiculous. You know, what kind of message is that sending out to your players who are going meant to be going out to war, and you're wearing white jeans and trainers, white trainers?
I mean, I kind of. Visualizing you might have worn those yourself to get your hair cut today, Hux, or do you own a pair of white chinos?
I might have worn them early 2000s when I'm going out, maybe, but not to a football match. not if you're a manager of a team. White jeans and white trainers, side of a pitch. Come on,
outstanding. Come on. Well, hang on. What did you make of Scott Parker's, you know, whatever that was, jacket? That got a lot of attention a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, Scott Parker's probably a different level, though. You know, he's played for England. He's played 600 games.
You've got to be able to back it up. You've got to back up the chinos.
If you're getting beat 7-0 and you're wearing white jeans and trainers, it's ridiculous. I'm not having it.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm feeling quite as buoyant now because obviously we've all decided the championship is fairly weak. And, you know, Norwich's away record is their 14th away win on Saturday, which is a club record. But, I mean, that has a massive asterisk next to it, doesn't it, Steve? When every away game has basically been without any fans. I mean, that does. I mean, it's not an away record then, is it? It's like a neutral record.
Yeah, although I would say we had a really good away record 2 years ago as well. So we have been able to do it. I think the championship's not as good, but that doesn't mean that this, you know, we've won it at an absolute canter. I think one thing that this team has done is... And I know, obviously, you're affected by the teams around you, but I don't think we've ever had a team go up with, what, 4 games to go, which is what we'll do if we beat Bournemouth next Saturday. As I say, it depends on the opposition you face, but we've been streets ahead of them and could go on to get 100 points. And it doesn't really matter what the standard's like. That's still a hell of an achievement to do at any level.
Yeah, it's going to go down as one of the best champion teams of all time. Simple as that. You know, in 10 years' time, no one's going to look back and say that there was no crowds, this or that. It'll just be remembered on points achieved. And, you know, if you get 100-odd points, you get remembered as one of the best champion teams of all time. Simple as that.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Let's bring in John Motson, shall we?
This is almost fantasy football.
Now it's just the one game coming up over these next 7 days, which is, of course, Bournemouth on Saturday at 8 o'clock. Swansea play twice before Norwich kick off, and Brentford play once, although I'm not entirely sure if everything's been confirmed in terms of timings at the moment, because the 3 o'clock games aren't taking part at 3 o'clock on Saturday anymore.
I believe, unless it's changed, I think they're being moved to either 12:30 or 5:30, okay, depending on what the club's taking part wants. So as we're kicking off at 8, they'll still be being played before our match.
Beautiful. So do we think Norwich will have been promoted by the time they kick off? Go on, Steve.
Who was Swansea? So Swansea and Brentford both need to drop points, don't they, in order for that to happen? I don't think so, no. In a way, I know this is being choosy now. I'd quite like us to do it on our own terms, if you know what I mean. I'd rather we beat Bournemouth to go up. Brentford have got Millwall at home, so they were pretty hopeless against Swansea. So I'm going to say that Brentford will win that game and that we'll have to do it. This is completely reversing what I said last week, so I hope nobody's listened to both of those. But I think we are going to have to do it on our own terms now on Saturday night.
Love it. Now, I think I pointed out, I pointed out to Daniel Farke that he hadn't beaten Derby before, which was your stat from last week, Steve. and he liked that one. So that was his first win against a Derby side. But also, down at these, well, Derby and then Bournemouth and Watford are the three teams that had all beaten Norwich 1-0 in the return fixtures. And there'll be a little bit, won't there, that Norwich will want to prove something against Bournemouth and obviously Watford. But, you know, just A, from being relegated from them, and B, from losing in earlier in the season.
Yeah, it's, you want to win the game, but if you know you can win the league or, you know, go up on your terms, on live on Sky, in front of the nation, it must be... It's what you dream of, really, to actually get promoted live on TV. So the players will be right up for it. They've had a little bit of a break and they're ready to go. It'll be, you know, what an occasion. All the Norwich fans will be able to watch it. It's perfect.
How different is it playing when it's like a big game on telly? Does that sort of play in your mind? I mean, it's probably more emphasised now because there's no one actually in the ground either. But when you would have done it?
Yeah, I think you kind of know. You know, it's a big game anyway, but it's live on TV. Every game's been live, hasn't it? Virtually now. So they just want to get the job done now. You know, they've only got five games left. They just want to get the job done. You go into every game expecting to win, and I'm sure Saturday will be no different.
Limbo, limbo, limbo. It's nearly done, Steve.
I do think, though, and what you said about them having a bit of a point to prove, I think they've got... I mean, I know they've basically done the job now in terms of going up. Got a massive point to prove in the next two matches, because these are two sides who may well be with us in the Premier League next year. We haven't got a great record against them under Farker, and these are the kind of games, you know, we might have to play slightly differently in order to beat Watford, I think, to the way we have been playing. So in terms of preparation for next year, I would absolutely say they're two games that we'd really want to win. The problem is that they may go out on the lash on Saturday night if they get promoted and may not be that bothered about the Watford game. I don't know how that one will pan out. It's only 3 days later, right? So they may not see it that way if they're just thinking, oh, well.
Yeah. You have to hold on because you can win the title, surely. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult to go out on the lash anyway. You can't go anywhere unless you're in the garden.
Yeah.
Find a pub garden somewhere. Now.
Just open Colney, get the beers out and away they go. Yeah, no one would even be able to know. So there we go. What it's worth stating is that Brentford are 17 points behind and can only win 18 more points. Swansea are 18 points behind and can only win 18 points. That is both cases, assuming Norwich do not pick up another point at all. That is how close we are. It's literally on the brink. And I would imagine next time we're on a podcast, hopefully it'll all be done. That'll be the plan anyway. Right. Well, I think we've basically decided it will happen and Norwich are going to smash Bournemouth. So that'll be happy days. There we go. I think that's it then for this week's On The Ball. If you're yet to, make sure you subscribe via your podcast player of choice. The pod is available free for everyone on your usual player and ad-free to subscribers of The Athletic via our app. Leave a review or rating if you get the chance. And if you want to get in touch with any questions or topic proposals, sling me a direct message on Twitter at Michael J. Bailey. I am aware they have stacked up rather a lot in recent weeks. I will endeavour to go through them over the rest of the season, I promise. In the meantime, a big thank you to our guests tonight. They were Steve. Thank you so much, Steve, as always.
Cheers, Michael. Thanks, mate.
And the one and only Darren Huckabee. Cheers, Hux.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back next week at the usual time for another On The Ball in Norwich City podcast from The Athletic. Until then, keep your fingers crossed and never mind the danger. And we are clear. There we go. Stephen Hux, welcome to Wits End. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Anyway, hello, everyone. If you have stumbled across this for the first time, wondering what's going on, listen to On The Ball podcast number 42, which went live on September the 8th. It's all explained there. You can email this part of the podcast directly with an email to Twitterkers, Twitter, K-E-R-S, at iCloud.com, or use the hashtag Twitterkers on Twitter. Just don't explain what it refers to, and hopefully we'll be able to work it all out. The outstanding twitterkers.co.uk website is flourishing. The countdown for Norwich's last defeat is now on 65 days. 65 days since Norwich last lost a game of football, which is crazy.
A lot of games played in that time as well. It feels like, I don't know, what are we on now? Is it 13 unbeaten? 14? It's quite a lot to play in
65. Yeah, the schedule has been crazy. That's sort of gone by in a heartbeat, really. I did, obviously, marking Grant Holt on his 40th birthday. We got the pictures down on twitterkers.co.uk. Well, I say we. What I mean is Ken Charlie, who put it all together, has got the pictures of some other fine Norwich City tashes. I don't remember you ever having just a moustache on its own, Hux?
No.
Have you ever done that?
No, my dad has. My dad's had a moustache all his life. I've never seen him without a tash.
Is that right?
Never seen my dad without a tash.
Is he tempted?
He's like a big bushy one as well.
Oh, big, is it really?
Big, yeah, it's a big Grant Holt one.
Oh, fantastic.
It's like my dad, who Hux knows, never seen him without a beard. It's to the point where it would look really weird now if he ever got rid of it.
I had a tash once or twice for Movember. I think that was really just shaving the beard around the moustache. So I don't know if that really counts, but wow, that's exciting. I mean, can we class your dad, Hux, as an Norwich fan?
No.
Oh. Who does he support?
Football. He watches every...
Does he?
No. He just watches football. He watches every single game going. Like every single game.
Well, he must be in his element this season.
Yeah. He gets his Sky Sports subscription worth, I tell you. Every single game.
He does even make a good scout then. I mean, he must have a team though, surely.
Well, he's from Nottingham, so I suppose. No, but he never went to watch Forest or anything like that. So, no, he was always playing, wasn't he? He was always playing. So, yeah. All then coming to watch. So, I don't think
he was a fan of whoever Hux was playing for. That's it. Whoever his son was playing for, he was a fan.
Yeah, that sounds better.
There you go. We'll take that one. So, one day maybe we'll see Hux with a tash. That's what we've garnered from that. Steve, last week you laid out a quiz question that I think it was in Wits End. You posed it.
Yeah,
and then I had a panic because I was like, I can't think about this now, but I really think I can get the answer. I then remembered that, or you reminded me actually, that you posed the question this afternoon. So I did the same thing again. I was like, oh, I can't think. And I've really struggled with it.
I think I've got it wrong as well. I think
so. Yeah, we've got to resolve it now.
It wasn't the fourth Norwich City assistant manager to then go on and manage against us. He was the third. So there were two others. And as you have it, so I'll just say, just on the off chance that people did bother. So one of them was Nigel Worthington, who obviously then went on to manage us and then managed against us at Leicester.
Leicester were beating 3-1. Yeah, beating 3-1.
Yes. Did Kenton score for Leicester in that game? Is it that one? I'm sure Kenton scored against us at some point. And the other one was Lee Clark, who was assistant under Rhoda, and then managed us against us with Huddersfield. And I thought Paul Trollope had, but he never was actually assistant. It was Calderwood who was assistant. So anyway,
that's a technicality because he was first team coach.
True, but then I don't know, there might have been a few of those down the years.
I hope
a very successful feature, that one.
Hey, we're all allowed one, Steve. And to be honest, you're still basically right. So, you stumped me, should have got Lee Clark, though. There we go. Don't forget to keep your stuff coming in on anything you want, really, on the hashtag Twitterkers. I think last week we mentioned about random pictures you've managed to get in the background of. So I'm going to retweet this right now. This is me retweeting it right now. James Hotchkiss, I was pleased to spot myself on the official 1994 calendar wearing a We're All Going on a European Tour cap in the background. So we've got, now,
It's definitely Chris Sutton, and it looks like that's Lee Sharp, or it could be Gary Pallister. And he circled himself. Don't know if you can see that. Named on the far side.
I have no idea the player there. Doesn't it?
You won't be able to see his face. But yeah, there he is, which is a cracking one. I need to retweet the picture of me at the Millennium Stadium. The EDP picked me out. So there you go. If anyone else has got any pictures you're in the background of, like Charlie is in the background of the twitterkids.co.uk website, if you can find it, then dig those out. We had a skip song as well. That's the other thing, which was from Charlie, in fact. Started for 10, it needs some work, he says. Skippy, the English cockoo. Skippy is coming for you. That's a potential chant for Oliver Skip.
So the tune of Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, right?
I've assumed so. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you didn't give us a tune, Michael, but
we just have to guess
the tune.
I've got a dry throat and I haven't had a drink for an hour, so I'm struggling, to be honest. But I mean, was Cockoo a defensive number? I thought Cockoo was more an attacking player than a number six.
I think, to be honest, that can go. It was a good effort, but I reckon we can go back out there again because
send it back out.
I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying someone might be able to do better. That's all.
I'm going to go the other way. That was poor. It needs a complete rewrite.
I mean, this is the first Christmas for a long time that the fans haven't had the chance to sing your song, Hux, and 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah, I suppose sometimes. So, yeah.
Unless they've all been sent. They might have all been singing it individually at home over Christmas.
Yeah, because everyone was trapped in the houses, so. I'm sure it got an ear in somewhere.
What else were they going to do, eh?
Something slightly tragic about somebody just singing that on their own in their room. That song goes on for about 5 minutes.
So, I've done it. What are you saying? It's a great Christmas.
Just a quick one on that though. Just want to put out there in case anyone gets in touch. Best chance, like best player chance, because that's a good one. That is a good one. The 12. 12 Days of Huckabee, is that what it's called? I mean, I always like the Grant Holt one as well. We can't really repeat it on the podcast, but it's just the sheer simplicity of it.
Paul McVeigh, I mean, we then get into the realms of players who were perhaps not quite as good as their chance, which is obviously a niche.
Which players?
Well, I've now realised I've got a problem because whoever I now talk about, I've sort of flagged up as that, which is not the case. But what I will say is Paul McVeigh always had a really great chant. You know, he did have a great chant.
And Safri, actually, can I throw Yusuf Safri into that mix? I always liked that. Not into the poor player one, because I loved Yusuf. But he did have a brilliant chant.
Moroccan all over the world, wasn't it?
Yes. Status quo.
I mean, the players now tend to sing their own chants. That's what I've realised. They don't ever want you to know that, but I think they all do, or like their teammates will sing their chants at them. Would that have happened in 2004, Hux?
I hope not.
Like Craig Fleming singing 12 Days of Christmas at you?
No, it wasn't his style. And then again, they do these initiation songs.
Is that a new thing, the initiation song?
Well, it used to happen when you was at Christmas for your money. You had to do something like that at Christmas, but not like when you just went to a new club. I can't remember. I never did that when I went to a new club.
What, no initiations at all?
No, not really. Not that I can remember.
All right, that must be like just an urban legend.
No, they do it now. They do it. Everyone does it now, but I can't remember 20 years ago doing it.
I'm pretty sure that Ben Mounts, a regular peer on this podcast, had to do some kind of initiation on the first like pre-season tour he went on. And I can't remember. He'll have to ask him next time he's on. He had to sing a song, and he wasn't even a player. So they definitely would have inflicted it on the playing squad. That would have been, I don't know, 9-10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, me no. I wonder if anyone out there has had to do initiations and their employers, because, you know, their manager was a massive football fan and decided it'd be a great idea for team building. So I don't think you should start bringing in football things into the workplace. But there we go. I think we're done. Thank you so much. I'm going to wrap it up there. Thanks, everyone, for get your chance in and follow up on all that. That's grand. remember to get in touch via Twitterkers hashtag Twitterkers or the email twitterkers@icloud.com. But that's it. Huck, thank you so much for your time, as always.
No problem. Have a good evening.
Top man. Steve, thank you so much for the evening.
Cheers, Michael. Last one before we're officially a Premier League club, right? Well
let's hope so. Let's hope so. Fingers crossed. Brilliant stuff, gents. Take care. Thank you all for listening. We will see you next week.
The Athletic.